Welcome, revisionist adapters, to the 157th episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where we're so far off the rails we bear little resemblance to the source material. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Cam.
And tonight, we'll be discussing HBO's interpretation of A Song of Ice and Fire. But first, we'll retrace our steps down the King's Road with our weekly, geekly update. Brian, why don't you go first, man? What you been up to?
Well, I have been kind of preparing for this Final Fantasy thing. I don't believe you guys, once bitten, twice shy and all that. But just in case, I've been kind of cleaning up the computer, and it looks like I don't have enough hard drive space, so I'm going to have to make some difficult decisions in the near future.
Uh-oh. Well, you mean as far as what's got to go?
Yeah.
Just play on PlayStation, man.
I seriously cannot fathom an MMO with a controller.
Oh, well, yeah. It's doable.
You can get one of those wireless keypads, though, can't you?
Yeah, you probably could.
Get a wireless keyboard and just play that way.
That's not a bad idea.
I think a mouse and keyboard would work fine with the PlayStation, to be honest with you.
And that would solve my graphics problem, too, because this is a bit of an older machine, and I had to tone down the settings quite a bit.
There you go. The PS4, the PS3 did a pretty decent job, and the PS4, I'm sure, is even better. So I think that may be your way to go, man.
Yeah, I just got one for Final Fantasy as well, and it works pretty well. It was $20.
Wow.
From Walmart. It's pretty good.
Get in on it, man. I mean, I know you're opposed to Walmart for political reasons.
Yeah.
just this once. Cool. So you're prepping for some Final Fantasy either way.
Prepping for Final Fantasy, today actually was new comic book day. Star Wars 5 came out, and I kinda hate this, but you know, I'm passing on Star Wars to the new fans, so I have to make peace with it. It's a Boba Fett heavy episode, so I had to rush out and grab it before it all sold out. So I'm usually pretty safe waiting till Saturday to get new episodes. But couldn't do it this time. Couldn't risk it because I got burned with Darth Vader 3.
Oh, do they sell out and you just can't get like the first printing, or you can't get them at all?
So far, they've been really good about reprinting. I think the first volume of Star Wars is actually on its like fifth printing right now.
Wow.
But I don't know. I just not a huge fan of that. I mean, I collected comics way back when, so second editions are like dirty to me.
Yeah. It doesn't count. I hear you.
So the deal with Darth Vader number 3 was it was a first appearance. So a bunch of speculators bought it.
Oh, please tell me there's not a robust resale market for this stuff.
No, and there won't ever be, because like the first printing was like a million copies, so it will never, ever be rare.
Good. I've seriously had it with people like ruining collectability or not even collectability for investment's sake, but just for enjoyment's sake, because they're trying to make a buck. Yeah. It just makes me sick.
People still buy it, and I don't think it happens. Like, people are like, oh my god, first appearance, let me buy that. And it might be worth, like, $20 in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to get rich off of it. I don't think they're going to send their kids to college or anything like that.
No, I think the thing that's going to make you rich is the thing that you're not thinking about now. It's something that's a sleeper hit, or will become a hit later, or will be made into some huge movie later. But it's definitely not Star Wars comics.
No, it's something that has, like, 5,000 copies,
right?
Not a million.
Right. And if you don't believe that, I've got plenty of foil-packed Spider-Man comics from the 90s to sell you, and some X-Men. Plenty of stuff for you.
Yep.
Me too.
And last, but certainly not least, I bought a new tabletop game, and I don't know how to even talk about it, because everybody calls it something else. It's either Formula D or Formula Day or Formula Day or... or whatever. I bought a racing game.
Yeah, you brought that to game night the other night, but I didn't get a chance to play. How is it?
Weird story. At a convention that I was working, and it was like 2 a.m., and I kind of got picked up. This girl was just nice. Like, oh, you want to go to the game room?
she bet the game room, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah, there was one guy that was stoned out of his mind and hadn't slept for 3 days. There was another dude that hadn't showered in several days. And just a couple of people playing different games in the corner. And this game was one of them. And I could not play because they were on like lap 10 or whatever, but it looked great. And it looked really interesting. So I'm finally glad I got to pick it up. And something that's... It makes perfect sense for a race, but I'm not used to seeing this in a tabletop game. 10-player.
Oh, wow.
10-player board game.
That's pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Very excited about it. And if you're not into F1, the flip side of the board is like a Too Fast, Too Furious street race.
Nice.
With characters with zany special abilities and weird street cred.
That's pretty cool. It's basically two games in one almost then.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty awesome.
Neat little game. I'm going to bring it tomorrow.
Very cool.
Cool. I look forward to giving that a go, actually. Anything else?
That's enough.
I would say so, yeah. Cool. Good week. And that brings it over to you, Cam. What you been up to?
I think I on one of my previous Geeklies, talked about getting in the game Lanterns. Which is a tabletop game that I kickstarted. I was finally able to play that a few times this past week, and it is stellar. It is a great, great game. It's probably one of the best games I've played, in a long time. Really, really enjoy that game. Actually played it again last night at, our game night at the Adventure Game Store. And, the people, I sort of demoed it for a couple people that were there, and they loved it too. I mean, they were just like blown away by it. So that was fun. I picked up, Cthulhu Wars. Brian, I know you're familiar with that game, right? Tom, I don't know if you've seen it. It's that, Sandy Peterson, huge, miniature type, Cthulhu Lovecraft, fighting game where you're like, you know, you're fighting other elder gods for control of the world. It's the miniatures are outstanding. And I say miniatures, I mean,
they're big.
Yeah. They're huge. Exactly.
Oh, I've seen. Okay. Yeah. That's the one I saw with the huge monsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That looked pretty cool. That looked pretty cool.
I picked that up from the Adventure Game Store. Brian was able to get a Kickstarter copy. He had backed the Kickstarter and he sold all the copies that he backed. And then, he was able to get his hands on a couple more and he reserved one for me. So that was great. I picked that up. But, highlight of the weekend was, I went up to, Disney for Star Wars weekend. Which was amazing. I was there on, Sunday. I'm an annual pass holder, so I was fortunate enough to sort of think ahead and get my fast passes for all the good rides. I picked up a really sweet Stormtrooper magic band for, you know, to link to my annual pass. You know, partook in some of the Star Wars fair that they had there, went to Darth's Mall and picked up a really cool, It's like a name tag pin. I posted it on the Facebook, on our Facebook site. It's like a name tag, but it's in Aubrech and it has my name on it. And then it has my position. And of course my position is Jedi Master, but there was a ton that you could choose from. It was just a great, great time. I'm actually heading back up to Disney this coming weekend, for the long weekend. And I probably will hit that again along with, some of the other parks. So. That was my week.
Awesome, man. That sounds like a full weekend. Full weekend.
It was great.
I'm jealous about the Star Wars weekends in particular. I haven't been up. I don't know if I'm going to this year, but I don't know. The crowds aren't really what I'm into, but I kind of do like going to the Darth's Mall and checking out what they have. So I may make the trip.
Yeah, what's amazing about Darth's Mall? I don't remember if it was like this last year. I think it was, but previously they had it sort of in like a weird area. You know? Do you remember last year? Now
it was in like a big building.
Yeah. Now they have them like broken up into different stores.
Oh, so it's not all one big area anymore.
They've like,
oh, okay.
They've split it up into several different areas. And then but the problem is like you have to wait in line to get into the stores, which would be my only knock on it. And I mean, we didn't wait too long, but it was enough to be annoying that I'm like, I'm waiting in line to go into a store to buy something. That's a little shocking.
Cool, man. Well, I am happy to hear that there have been improvements along those lines. And if I go, you'll be the first to know about it.
All right.
put it that way. And of course, for anybody who doesn't know, we are talking about Star Wars Weekends at the Walt Disney World Resort in 3.5 hour away from us, Orlando, Florida, or thereabouts.
Yes.
It's technically in Bay Lake or something, isn't it?
Lake Buena Vista.
Lake Buena Vista. Yeah, whatever the hell the name of the town is. Yeah. But cool. All right. I guess that brings it to me. As I am sad to report, no Disney this week for me. I did see Mad Max, which...
Oh, I heard that was awesome. I'm so jealous.
It's a really good movie. If I hear one more person tell me that it's not really about Max, but about, you know, about the feminist hero, like, okay, yes, 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 I get it. Like, God, I don't want to get political, but it's great that I can never remember Charlize Theron, whatever. Is that how you say her name?
Charlize Theron, I believe.
Yeah, she did. She played a female character who was sort of the co-hero with Max, and I thought that was great. But this didn't seem out of keeping with other movies where, like, Max gets inserted into a situation, and then there are other people who fight along with him and against him, right? I mean, it's never just been, like, just him on, like, the lone man on stage, has it?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, all the weird, like, I'll put quotes around it, feminist chest beating aside, really cool movie. Definitely recommend it. And I would probably entertain seeing it again. It was that good. If you haven't seen it, definitely worth it. In addition, I meant to mention last week, this is a little more mundane. No, it's not. The folks from iFixRobot sent me an email to ask how Elmer, my Roomba, is doing. And I replied, he's doing quite well, and sent him the little link to our YouTube page where I showed him operating after being fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of your robot vacuuming needs, do check out iFixRobot. They fixed him up, and I endorse them fully.
That's pretty good customer service.
Yeah, to actually follow up like that. Yeah. Of course, I now have a strong female robot who is way cooler than Elmer. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to stop beating that up. That just really got on my nerves, like politicizing a friggin' fiction movie. Like, yeah. But we'll get into more of that later, maybe. And of course, I've been playing more Dragon's Dogma, hoping to finally wrap that game up. Not that I'm not enjoying it, but I've really got a backlog of games I need to get through in the last gen. I'm falling behind on the first gen now that a few offerings are finally starting to build up. So I need to get my gaming in gear here and get this stuff knocked out. That's pretty much it. Mad Max, the feminist platform. My robot's fixed. I'm happy. And Dragon's Dogma.
Sweet.
That's more or less it for me. Yep. And before we get on to tonight's topic, wherein I promise we will almost certainly butt up against politics again, we should probably first step out into the broader world and report on some news. And Brian, as you were first with the update, why don't you go first with the news, man? Any news to report?
Yeah, you ever just kind of forget about a franchise that it's been so long?
Yes.
Last Starfighter 2 is being filmed.
Love that movie.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I'm so thrilled about that. I can't even tell you.
Any word on who they're casting as the strong female actual lead?
No, not yet.
Sorry, I'm going to stop beating that dead horse. That's cool. So is it going to star the original star of the movie at all? Or do we really don't know anything at this point?
We don't know much. Some people are kind of like, oh, maybe it's going to be like another Last Starfighter. And some people think it's going to be, what was his name? Jason?
The hero or whatever?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Whatever. Hero, because he went to train the new Starfighters, you know? Like, I'm kind of all excited about it. It's great. Star Wars and Last Starfighter.
Yeah, it's like the 80s all over again. I mean, yep. Be honest, you want to see, like, awesome, super badass CG Death Blossoms, right?
I do want to see Death Blossom. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cam, are you familiar with that movie?
For sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Oh, man. I don't think I did. I think I ended up seeing it on VHS or something, but it was pretty cool. Like, that was every kid's dream. Like, you're recruited into an awesome space, like, fighting force based on your prowess in a video game. Like, yes, this is my dream. Awesome. I'm excited.
Just as an aside, I don't know if you guys ever remember, but if you remember, because we're all sort of grew up here in the same area in South Florida, and I apologize to our non-South Florida listeners, but I'm going to digress just for a second. Do you guys remember, it was off of University, I think just north of Pines Boulevard, there was a Dollar Theater behind the bowling alley. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember
the bowling alley? Yeah.
I saw that movie in the theater there at the Dollar Theater.
Holy cow.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Was it a Dollar Theater at the time or a regular theater?
No, it was a Dollar Theater even back then. And I remember that, like, I used to love going to that theater because they always had, like, they always swapped out. They only ever had one video game, but they always, like, swapped it out. And it was like, they had the Journey game. I don't even remember the Journey video game.
Yeah, I do remember the Journey video game.
That was like the best place to go. My mom would take me and my brother there all the time. And I remember seeing that movie there.
Nice. Good memory. Yeah. Way to stoke the memories, Brian. Great news piece.
Glad I could spark that.
Yes. Any other news to report?
Let's see. So following Iga and his new adventure kind of correlates with following Konami and their meteoric fall to ashes. Has anyone?
Yes. They're just totally falling apart, right?
Konami has come out and announced that in their heart of hearts, they truly believe mobile games are the future. And that's where they'll be focusing.
Oh boy. Yuck. Gross. So Konami, once one of the brands I probably counted in the constellation of top brands, no longer so for a gamer like me, it sounds like.
Yeah, it looks like they'll be working on, Vampire Candy Crush or something like that. Like,
in other news, Konami has just bought 1 billion shares of MySpace. what a bad decision.
Well, I understand Konami, you know, we think of Konami as a video game company, but I understand they're a lot more diversified in Japan. They're in a lot of other lines of business, and Konami's fortunes as a company, I think, may not rise and fall with video gaming. So they may have just been like, you know what, games division, we're done with, like, the big Metal Gears and things like that. We're going to make, like, mobile games because that's, like, printing money, and that's all we care about. Just a thought.
It's very weird to me, and I understand that just kind of socially, mobile gaming is ridiculously huge and important in Japan, but they're a really tiny little island.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can turn your back on the video game sales that Europe and the Americas offer.
Yeah, my only explanation is maybe to do with my understanding that Konami has other interests besides video game making, because I've heard a lot of true believers in the power of mobile say basically, you know, mobile's here and these other gaming on a PC, gaming on a console, that's going to become marginal as everybody runs to use an iPad and a phone. But man, not for me, and I don't think for the hardcore gaming set ever.
PlayStation 4 sales certainly don't seem to indicate that.
Right, well, hell, I mean, even Xbox One sales, and that's the clear loser so far this generation, are nothing to really sneeze at, are they? I mean,
no.
Yeah, so, right, I don't think dedicated gaming machines are necessary. Well, let me think more carefully how I want to state that. This may be the last round of dedicated gaming machines, but it's going to be a healthy last round. You know, not everybody's going to trade in their Xbox for a tablet.
The handheld game devices are not going to be the doom of the console. The doom of the console is the smart TV. You know what I mean? It's not even like that, okay, now there's, you know, the console's out of here because everyone's playing on their iPad and whatever. I mean, yeah, that's part of it, but it's just these gaming companies have already foreseen that, and that's why Sony and, you know, all these other companies have the Gaikai technology and all that other stuff, and they're just going to stream their games directly to your smart TV. You don't need and possibly at some point maybe your device, but I mean, I don't think the technology is quite there yet, but I mean the smart TV is really what's killing the console, in my opinion.
Well, and by killing it, all we're doing is still transferring a similar experience onto another device. Like,
right.
You're still going to have a controller or whatever, and you're still going to play on your TV. You're not switching over to a phone.
Exactly.
And I'm not in the industry. I'm not trying to downplay mobile, but somebody whose bread and butter has been development for consoles. I don't know. That just seems like a, as Brian said, maybe the final stage of reentry as they plummet to their doom. depressing news, Brian. Depressing news.
More exciting news. We are, in theory, if not in practice, one step closer to Jurassic Park parks opening up.
Wow.
Scientists have developed a chicken embryo and altered the genes to like a regressed state. It is a chicken with a dinosaur snout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard about that. They for ethical reasons, they would not hatch the embryos, but they got them to revert from beak back to snout, right?
Yep.
Wow, amazing. Amazing considering evolution is just a theory. Sorry. There I go again. Oh, my God. Yikes.
Well, where do you guys – that brings up – since we're talking about ethics, I just read this book called Ancestor by Scott Siegler, and the basic premise of the book, you know, without spoiling it for anyone, is the world is – and all these big gen companies are trying to create – some sort of way to grow like artificial, not artificial, but actual organic replacement body parts. So like if you needed a kidney, you'd be able to get a kidney that wouldn't be rejected by your body. You know, the 3D printers make crazy claims that they're going to be able to do that at some point, but you know, who knows? But that's the basic premise of the story. So, and the way that they were doing that is genetically modifying certain animals like a cow, where they can implant embryos. It would have an animal quote unquote offspring, but those offspring would have the internal organs of a human. And then you could then transplant those organs into someone, like, you know, it'd be like a basic blank genetic code. You can imprint the genetic code of whoever the recipient would be, and you'd be able to get that kidney or heart or whatever it is you needed. Where do you guys fall? I mean, I know that's obviously science fiction, but where do you guys fall in the realm of something like that happening? Because, I mean, it seems like that is something that's not too far out of reach given the current genetic technology.
Oh, I totally think we'll be 3D printing like actual organs soon.
I mean, if we could do that, that'd be awesome because you're not like killing any other sentient being to harvest their organs and make someone else live longer. But if the only way to do that was to grow a, you know, headless human or some sort of other animal, and it meant either killing that animal that you've genetically engineered or you dying, I don't know. That'd be a tough decision, I think.
We call it stock for a reason.
Yeah.
if we're talking about raising a pig or a cow or some other mammal that has basically organs compatible with me, I don't see how that's ethically any more thorny than eating bacon. Like, because, right. You know, we kill animals for food just because they taste good. We don't really need to. We don't really need to be carnivores. We're an omnivorous species that could probably live mostly off of plants.
Right.
But we eat meat because we like it. I don't see how, you know, You carve the outside up for beef and you know, pork chops and or whatever other you're going to use these various animals for, and then all the guts are used to save people's lives. I mean, I see that as a win-win.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think about it that way. You're right.
If you were raising an actual living human being that had thoughts, dreams, hopes, and a personality and a sense of self, and then killed that person so somebody else could live, now we've got a definite ethical problem.
Yeah.
I think if you get to the point that you can control that kind of compatibility, you can probably just diminish the brain.
Right. Yeah. So the headless body is what I think what Cam was alluding to on that front, right, Brian?
Yeah. I think you can just, you know, like give it just enough impulse control to pump blood.
Yeah.
But what if you needed a brain transplant that you might need?
Well, you know, again, so if you can grow the structures of these organs, and this is creepy because you're going to see these like weird like torsos being grown that aren't torsos, you know, it'll look creepy. But if we're just growing body parts or containers for body parts and, you know, and a nervous system and all that stuff without a sentient thinking brain, which is where I think your humanity resides, that's my shorthand philosophy on where the mind lives. I don't see a problem with that either. I mean, at that point, you're not killing something because you didn't have a fully living, functional organism to begin with, necessarily.
Yeah.
But you got to do it carefully. I'm definitely not okay with what was that movie The Island or whatever.
The Island, yeah. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that's definitely there. There's no there's no defending something as barbaric as that.
You won the lotto. Come get carved up.
Right. But you know, if you're gonna eat Porky or Bessie anyway, and you know, I we could get into details of we can get into arguments about the ethics of animal consumption, but you know, might as well pack it full of useful human organs.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that was a nice aside. Let's just do that. Let's make that tonight's topic. Oh, man. So let's see. More news?
That is it for me.
Cam, you got something to share?
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Disney, from my Geekly, Disney World has instituted on most rides now a no selfie stick policy.
come on.
Which I think should be just a life policy, but like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
apparently it's been causing all sorts of havoc, with people trying to take pictures and them having to stop the rides and causing unsafe conditions. So basically, and it's funny if you look online, like the picture is hilarious. It says no selfie sticks in big letters. And then it's like the Ghostbuster symbol and like the bathroom figure holding a selfie stick. It's hilarious.
That is good.
So that is, it's pretty funny that Disney is going that far. But I mean, I agree. Like, I wouldn't want my ride stopped or have to wait longer in a line because some idiot on, you know, dropped their selfie stick or, you know, made the ride unsafe or fell out because they were trying to take a stupid picture.
Yeah. Or it smacked into something and went flying. Yeah. So then they, you know, it's on the track and they have to stop the ride to clear the track. You know, exactly. That's stupid.
It's just a matter of time until they try it, like, on Space Mountain. To get knocked out of their hand and decapitate someone on another train.
Exactly. Pirate Bay, we talked about, there was a big story last year about how they got, you know, raided and all that stuff. They were back up and running fairly soon afterwards. Apparently, the authorities are still after them. Sweden seized their domain names, thepiratebay.se and piratebay.se. And within like hours, they were Pirate Bay was already back up and running under, you know, new redirected sites. And now they launched a new logo. It's pretty funny. It's the old Pirate Bay logo, but with like a Hydra. And the Hydra, all of the heads have all of their new logo, you know, their dot, like .mn, .gd, .la.
Oh, yeah.
Basically saying, cut off one and, you know, we've got plenty more to replace it. They even sent out a press conference or a press statement saying, congratulations to prosecutor Frederick Engelblad, who I guess is the guy that's been coming after them. 2 years of hard work to get us to change two little letters in our website, at a cost of $20,000 per letter. You could have given us $35,000 and we would have left the domain to you, thus saving the Swedish taxpayers $5,000. All you had to do was ask nicely. So basically they're just laughing in the face of the authorities trying to shut them down. And they're really not even, you know, slowing down or missing a beat in terms of their, quote unquote service. Back to Disney, apparently the CEO of Disney came out and said that they're looking very, very closely and very intently into starting both a Star Wars and a Marvel TV channel.
Oh,
so
wait a minute.
So instead of just like, you know, ABC Family or whatever, you know, whatever they've got, they're going to have actual dedicated Star Wars and Marvel TV cable channels. Where they would run all sorts of Marvel and Disney content. Marvel and Star Wars content, which would be pretty cool, actually. But that's probably a year or two, at least in the offing. But, you know, good news all around if that comes out. I know we just talked about 3D printing in terms of organs, but GE just released a video where they actually 3D printed a mini jet engine. And if you haven't seen the YouTube video, I suggest you take a look at it. It's pretty freaking badass. Like, every single piece of that jet engine was 3D printed, and they got it up to 33,000 RPM. And I mean, the thing is just spitting fire. It's amazing. So, you know, 3D printing continues to take leaps and bounds.
Yeah. Pirate Bay is soon going to be the least of the IP holders' worries.
Exactly.
You wouldn't just print yourself a car, would you? Yeah, I would. Yes, I would, actually, and I'm going to.
Exactly. So that's pretty cool, and I think really, you know, IP holders aside, I think the possibilities are just limitless with this 3D printing. Let's see, what else? I'm a huge fan. I don't know if you guys know this, but in my top five movies, one of them is definitely Back to the Future. And Lego just came out. Lego Dimensions just came out with a sort of Back to the Future themed product. And they actually they have a really cool trailer that they put out with Doc Brown from Back to the Future, where he like makes his own minifig and like discovers it. It's pretty cool. If you haven't seen it, I would check it out. I just wanted to throw that in there just because I'm such a fan of Back to the Future. And last but not least, let's talk about video games. Geek.com released their top 10 video games to play with your significant other. And why don't you guys take a guess or two about what games you think are on this list?
Top 10
yeah.
to play with your significant other.
Yeah.
How about Super Mario 3D World?
Close. Mario Kart is on the list.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good.
Which I can get along with. I mean, probably leads to a lot of fights, but you know, I think that's fun. What about you, Brian? You got any guesses?
No, not really. I mean, I could go with like a Smash Brothers, but that's in the same vein.
Yeah. I only brought this up because the list is really weird. Let me sort of rattle off the names real quick to you guys and see what you think. Portal 2. Which,
that was cooperative, right? I guess.
Yeah, it's a co-op, so I guess. Bomberman, which I've never played actually, but
Bomberman's a brilliant game.
Yeah. Mario Kart, like we talked about. Nidhogg, which I've never played.
Oh, Nidhogg is really good.
Yeah,
that's a really fun game. Yes,
but it's
yes.
a fighting game, though, isn't it? Like,
no, Nidhogg is a gaining ground game. It's a one-on-one gaining ground game, and all you're doing is trying to move progress right or left and stop your opponent. It's very simple and very awesome.
Gotcha. Borderlands 2, which I am a big fan of.
Yeah, I like that.
Lego Batman.
Okay, which, I can see that being good.
I guess. Which this is the one that sort of jumped out to me as like, you know, a no-brainer and what I thought of when I first saw the article. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I mean, that makes sense, I guess. It's co-op and it lets you, you know, sort of have a guy character and a girl character. So that sort of makes sense. Then they lost me on Lara Croft, Guardian of Light, which if you're a Tomb Raider fan, you know, I played this game, but like it's a co-op, but you're either Lara Croft or you're this like Mayan tribesman.
That was the weird like 3D isometric one, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's almost like a puzzle game, sort of. Like, there's like a lot of like in-game team building. So I guess maybe that's why it made the list, but it's kind of weird. And then the last two or three that rounded out is Monaco, Rayman Origins, and Spy Party.
Hmm.
Yeah. Spy Party is actually pretty cool. It's almost like a Sims kind of game. I know it's weird, but it's pretty cool. So yeah, so if you're out there and you're looking for games to play with your significant other, maybe check some of these out. And that rounds out my news segment.
I'm kind of surprised WoW didn't make the list.
Yeah.
You speak from experience, Brian. You think that
I know a lot of couples that play WoW together.
Yeah, you know what? As I think about it, maybe that was a thing from a few years back.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I do remember a lot of couples that played together now that I think about it. Maybe that experiment has run its course and it was discovered that it was not a relationship solidifier after all.
Yeah, and like we talked about last week, they're losing a million subscribers a month, so.
Oh, man. That, nothing against Blizzard. They delivered a great game. I had quite a few years playing World of Warcraft, but yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It's time for that space to get cleared out and revived or something, in my opinion.
Yeah, Final Fantasy taking its place.
There you go. Brian, what are your thoughts on you were a pretty avid WoW player for a while too. What are your thoughts on its I won't say demise, but its diminishment?
They did such an excellent job of finishing the game. I don't understand how you can be like, look, this is the end of this massive world-changing arc and all is at peace and just everything is solved. Oh, a dragon. Gosh. Ugh. I don't know. It just felt they totally lost me with that. That is one of the first MMOs I ever felt well, my character lives happily ever after. That's it. That's their life. They're done. They retire. The only driving impetus in their life has been solved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, but being an MMO, there is no conclusion to the narrative. You just like wake up the next day and like, all right, well, rinse and repeat, right?
Oh, there's a new continent that hasn't been discovered for tens of thousands of years, and panda bears, jack
Yeah, I was
going to
say, they lost me at Mists of Pandaria. Yeah, they lost me at Mists of Pandaria.
Jack Black from the Panda Fu movie or whatever. Yeah, I wasn't too into Mists of Pandaria either. And, yeah, the game ended with, what was it called? The Ice Crown or whatever? I don't even remember. The one to which Brian's referring.
Arthas, basically. Like.
Yeah, yeah. That storyline was the most epic. It was cool. And that was it. Well, they have... What is it? Children of the Storm or whatever? Their new game. I don't know what that is. Blizzard's new game. You know what I'm talking about?
No. That company completely lost me with Diablo 3. That was such a piece of shit game.
You know, it was a pretty game. It was well made, but
Act One was well made.
I really didn't like the notion that okay, now you have to play through it like 17 more times to really win. Like, no, I'm kind of done with this game after like 2 times through. Thanks anyway. I figured like there would be some new levels forthcoming or something, but nah, they just kind of. I don't know. That felt like it should have been a $30 game or something.
Oh. I just wish they had completed it.
Exactly. Anyway, enough about Blizzard. Any more news?
I think that's it.
All right, cool. Well, a little some tangents, some interesting walk through the news, and now we can move on to tonight's topic if you guys want.
Absolutely.
Which is also in the news, let's be honest, and it's Game of Thrones. It seems like while the show lost me like 3 weeks ago, just because they've deviated so far from the books in ways I don't agree with that I'm not really interested anymore. They've really alienated a lot of viewers recently with the sexual violation of a certain high-profile character. I mean, do we have to worry about spoilers still or what?
No.
All right, so basically the big controversy this time, it's their second sexual assault controversy. Sansa Stark gets raped by Ramsay Bolton.
Yep.
And this is the second such controversy, the first one being when Jaime Lannister rapes his sister wife in the Sept over the corpse of their dead father, which was not a rape scene in the book and was already bad enough, but this one seems doubly bad because this scene just wasn't in the book, and they're like, let's just write in a rape! And yeah. As I've told people... And this may offend people, but they've already raped the story pretty well, so I guess why the hell not? Anyway, Thoughts on this latest rape controversy, thoughts on Game of Thrones. As I said, I'm done with the show. I'd love to get your views. Speaking of books, though, why don't we throw it over to Chris for a little preview of his work, Small Town Nights.
Small Town Nights by Christopher Robin Negline. Audiobook production by Ebony Jones. And audiobook cover design by Gina McGarry. They say Zeke left Las Vegas in a hurry one night, left without so much as a goodbye to his co-workers at the alehouse. He drove that old pickup so hard, hell, he only pulled into that little town of Spavinaw, Oklahoma, because he was seeing two roads dancing in front of him instead of one. By midnight, there was only one place still open, Tom's Diner, a greasy spoon where the plates crept across the table every time the jukebox played.
I think we were talking about this the other day. It's not even like they I guess two thoughts. One, they already had a rape scene, which, I mean, and I'm not trying to offend anyone out there or any women or anything whatsoever, but I could sort of understand that scene in terms of pushing the plot forward and making a statement in terms of, you know, a story you're trying to tell. But why the second one? You've already made that point. You've already done that, you know? And then not only that, but it's not even any, you completely just made it up. I mean, not completely, but that wasn't even Sansa never even happened to Sansa in the book, number one. Number two, it happened to Jane, and then that character's not even there now.
Right.
And like the Reek / Theon character, I mean, I guess he was sort of incorporated into it as well, but like, it was a much different dynamic in the book, as opposed to what they did to him in the show. It just seems like they're doing it for the sake of sensationalism rather than driving the plot forward. And that doesn't sit well with me.
Couldn't agree more. It's all just, you know, let's get some shock value in. And I mean, we're already just dicking this whole show up. We might as well just give the viewers what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Brian?
It kind of terrifies me that, and I know you didn't mean it this way, but it is kind of what the viewers want. More rape?
I mean, I hate to say it, but yeah, this just shows that HBO's out there on the edge doing their thing, right? And you know, and ooh, they're not afraid to show, you know, controversial, sexual, blah blah blah. I mean, I don't know how. There's no really adroit way for me to put it because it's stupid.
Well, and it's sad. It's sad that, I mean, and I'm not a woman, so you know, obviously, if it's sad to me, it's got to be absolutely tragic if you're a woman. But like, rape has now become an acceptable, how can I phrase this? An acceptable means of generating buzz. Right? Like, I mean, they're not doing this because it's, you know, it has any other reason except to draw attention to the show.
Right.
I'm sure some suit at HBO approved this and said, yeah, that's really going to get people talking. And it's really shitty that is what they would, you know, stoop to, I guess.
They're not making like a creative point with this.
Right.
They're marketing this.
It's a ratings grab that appeals to some gross base impulse and God knows what demographic, I guess. HBO are no strangers to this. I put it this way in a Facebook group in which I was commenting. Martin paints this picture of this brutal, unforgiving world you don't want to live in. Westeros is hardly a romantic place, right? It's
right.
Not a place you'd want to live unless you... I mean, maybe if you're a high lord, you've got something of a lifestyle, but to be just a commoner is a nightmare. And even to not be a commoner is a nightmare during all the war that's going on. But he paints this bleak world, and HBO, like, celebrates it. And I hate to say it, but that's... They have a history of sort of fetishizing violence in a lot of their shows. They did it in Rome. They did it in The Sopranos, right? Like, crazy.
Yeah.
They did it in Deadwood. You could go back to any of their shows that you've watched, and if you really think about it, they've always... I can't think of there may have even been a rape in Deadwood. Like, Oz. Let's not even get to Oz, the old prison show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and they were never... They never flinched from showing these graphic sexual violations. I don't know if that's like being real or, you know, showing what nobody else wants to, but like, I don't know. You could get the gravity of the crime across without showing the execution, can't you?
Well, now you sort of got me playing devil's advocate. I mean, I guess a part of me, you know, the free speech constitutional lawyer in me wants to say, well, you know, these things happen, you know, especially when you brought up Oz, you know. Are they bringing awareness? Did it somehow bring awareness to sexual assault against people in prison, you know, by what they showed in Oz? Is it somehow driving the movement that, you know, these things happen in life, you know, whether it's to a man or a woman, and we need to guard against that, or, you know, bring awareness to it and somehow, you know, show that, okay, this is not acceptable? Or is it glorifying it? I don't know, you know, I'm not qualified to make that decision. But what I keep coming back to is that sort of what you were saying at first, Tom, we already know that Westeros is a tough place to live. You know what I mean? We already know, especially for women, it's a tough place to live. You know, we already know that Ramsay Bolton is a sick fucker. So why did this... What did the rape scene have? It wasn't like it was driving those points home, you know, and letting us know these things about those characters or about the environment that they lived in. It was just, here it is. We're going to shock you and we want you to talk about it Monday morning with your coworkers and then get them to go watch it or, you know, post on the internet about it or whatever. And that to me is a little bit sickening.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we're focusing in on this latest outrage, but if you step back and look at the show on the whole, they always said they were going to step away from the books. I could have accepted that.
Yeah.
But it seems like they make stupid decisions. They forego certain twists and turns in the plot of the books and replace them with stuff that's just dumb.
Right. Like, and that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I getting rid of... Okay, Tyrion, when he crosses over to the other continent, goes on this long adventure and meets certain characters who I guess aren't even going to be making an appearance.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool, and that was adding more to the plot. Instead, they just kind of did this shorthand version of it where he, you know, he meets up with Mormont, and they're, it's dumb. I can't even begin to get into it, but like, what are they thinking? Do they need to condense things? There's plenty of material in the books from which to draw, and I don't know. I almost wonder if they want to overtake Martin. Like, they want to be the ones driving the narrative because, you know, he's so slow writing. Maybe they figure if they get to the finish line first, then he's going to have to divulge the plot points and let them run wild with them. I don't know.
I have no idea. And like, they, like, again, just making stuff up. Like, you know, Tyrion never told Jorah about his dad dying.
No, no.
You know, like, what? So what was that about? The slavers, you know, there was such, it was a much different scenario. I think the slavers boarded their ship rather than being just like caught unawares or something while they were like shipwrecked or whatever, like on the water from, they're just, why? It just doesn't make sense. Why are you making these changes? You know, like, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. I don't know. I seem to remember Mormont. Is it Jorah?
Jorah Mormont, yeah.
I seem to remember him fighting the slavers or something like that. Oh, by the way, I quit watching before this, so I don't really know what happened in the episodes. They lost me.
Yeah, no, I think in the book the slavers took their ship over.
Right, right.
In this episode, they were captured on land.
They kind of lost me when they killed Mance Rayder. Like, just killed him. Like, has he come back or is he dead?
No, he's dead. They burned him.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like, I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they did a lot of the shit they did.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And then, and like, there's another... In this past episode, Littlefinger and Cersei have this whole, like, exchange where they're bartering for power, basically. And Littlefinger is convincing Cersei that they need to attack... House, you know, they need to let Stannis and the Boltons fight it out at Winterfell and then be ready to take over Winterfell, you know, but take over whoever wins. And in the books, I mean, Baelish was, he never left the Eyrie, you know?
Like, he and Sansa should be in the Eyrie.
Yeah.
Like, as I told my friend with whom I was discussing this, Sansa and Littlefinger are another shoe yet to drop. Like, that's something I've been waiting to see what happens.
Right.
How that translates into Sansa alone at Winterfell being raped and Littlefinger conspiring with Cersei.
Married to Ramsay Bolton. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's moronic. And can somebody please explain? I made the mistake of leaving the TV on when the show was coming on the other day, and then I quickly turned it off. But did I overhear during the flashback to last week's episode Tyrion saying they were on the road to Valyria or some such absurdity, or the river to Valyria or something moronic like that?
No, they went through old Valyria in this past up. Yeah. And that's how they got off their boat, that they were attacked by the stone men
in Valyria,
in old Valyria. Yeah. Apparently old Valyria is now, a like quote unquote, like sort of like a leper colony for the, for the stone men.
We're talking about Valyria, the place that was destroyed at the magic cataclysm, right? From which the Valyrians come.
Yes. Wait.
So instead of passing, okay, hold on. Oh my god, this is so bad. Instead of passing through the ruined cities of the Rhoynar, which is what they should be passing through, and that's where, if you remember, Nymeria led the Rhoynar. She fled from the Valyrians and led the Rhoynar across the Narrow Sea into what is now Dorne, and they merge with the Dornish people. That's the real story. That's how Valyria... Right. Okay, but they pass through... They're actually saying that they are sailing through Valyria.
I mean, that's what I heard, right, Brian? I mean, that,
That's what I heard too, but I couldn't accept it. And a stone man attacked them in Valyria. But one more time, Valyria, where the dragon riders used to live, right? Right?
I'm pretty sure, unless I could have spaced that, but I'm pretty sure that that's
no. I hate to say it, I heard that in the, like the 30-second flashback too, yeah. And I was like, what? And I'm like, I'm never watching. I'm definitely never watching this show again.
Doesn't make any sense.
Oh God! So they did get attacked by a stone man. Did John Connington come? Oh, I'm sorry, he's not in the story either, is he?
Right, right. Well, and now Jorah was attacked by the stone man, and apparently he now has the
grayscale.
The grayscale. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful! I love it. They're just, it's wonderful. You know something? I hate to be the book was better guy, but my God, like, what are they doing?
Well, and speaking of Nymeria, I mean, that whole Sand Snake and Ilaria scenario is completely different. I thought it was going to be just a little bit different, just based on sort of the pre-season chatter, but it's like way off the rails as
okay.
well.
What are Jaime Lannister and Bronn doing yeah. in fucking Dorne? What are they doing?
They're rescuing his daughter, apparently.
No, they're not. That's not how any of this is happening. There's a whole thing with Marcella where her ear gets chopped off and like that, you know, then they have to not, oh my God, why?
Yep.
Why are they doing any of this?
Yep.
Brian, you have to be disgusted, please.
Having been dispassionate from the beginning, I love this ride. This is so fun to watch.
Like people having great hopes for the show and now hating it?
I hate to pick on you, but you mostly.
Oh, that I like the show and now despise it?
Now that you're coming around.
Oh, God, dude. I was willing to accept a loose following of the roadmap. And if they wanted to deviate here and there, fine. And if they wanted to consolidate certain characters or bring certain characters together, fine. But outright, like, violation of the story and just, like, creative license is one thing, but just doing something stupid is another. Like, I don't I don't even know if I could draw an analogy to like something else. Like, I don't know. It would be like they did the Hobbit movies and made them three movies or something. Like it would be just so stupid, you know? Oh, wait.
Wait.
I just can't. Yeah. I may unsubscribe from HBO at this point. Like, I don't understand why I'm paying for it to be offended like this.
It is at the point where you either need to just sort of accept it and, like Brian said, just enjoy the ride, or just say fuck it and not, you know, and unsubscribe, like you said. I'm sort of opposite of you, Tom. I'm watching it just because, like, I'm okay with just sort of putting things in their box and being like, okay, whatever, it is what it is. It's still, if you look at it as a standalone piece of, I guess, you know, entertainment, it's still better than 99% of the shit that's on TV anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever, you know, it's just that we have this, and it's sort of the same argument, like, you know, sort of the same things we were talking about when it came to the Hobbit movies. I mean, if you're looking at it as a Tolkien, you know, purist or fan, you're appalled. Right. But if you're just looking at it as an 11 year old kid or a 12 year old kid that's just watching a movie for the first time, you're like, wow, oh my God, you know, and I sort of try to take the high road in terms of, if this gets people to read George R. R. Martin, then I think it's still a win. If that makes sense, you know, it's still bringing awareness.
But will it? Because they're satisfied with this crap. Like,
not all of them. He'll pick up 10% of the watchers.
Yeah, my companion, as we've dubbed them, last episode, actually is now reading the books because of the hype and the buzz of the show.
Okay, well, all right, there's something for that. And I will say this. The show had begun, and Brian had been on my case for years to read the books. Years. Not on my case, but he's like, dude, you got to read this. Man, you got to read this. And I finally, I blew through all of it before I watched the show even once. And maybe it's because it's fresh, but I wish I hadn't. I wish I had just watched the show been content.
Well, it's funny because I read them back in like high school. Or was it just after high school? When did they come out? Like 96, I think? I think the first one was that old. I've gone back and sort of reread, not all of them, but I've sort of skimmed through most of them. And it is what it is. You know, it's Hollywood. They're never gonna hold to the actual writing. So you just, I guess to me, I just sort of keep it in its box and watch it, and it's cool and it's great and whatever. But you know, realize it's almost two sort of separate works.
It bothered me at first just because A Song of Ice and Fire is such a better name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I kind of appreciate. I mean, they didn't even bother calling it the same shit.
True. So maybe I shouldn't expect the same shit, right, Brian? Because they were like, yeah, this is based loosely. It's just called Game of Thrones.
Right. This is what some other dude thought might have happened after the first book.
But like we were talking about with the whole Sansa scenario, I mean, you know that there's a suit or several suits just sitting there in an office somewhere thinking, well, what's going to make us the most money? What's going to maximize revenue? What's going to maximize viewership? And, you know, that's why they decided on Game of Thrones rather than A Song of Ice and Fire. That's why they decided on, you know, all these things. And from a corporate standpoint, I guess I understand that. I mean, what's their mission? Their mission is to maximize revenue for their shareholders. So, you know, if you look at it from a purely scientific or economic perspective, okay, like I get it. But if you're looking at it from a fan or purist, you know, literary perspective, you know, you just end up heartbroken.
Yeah. And I'm normally not this way. I have been able to successfully separate. Like Starship Troopers is the one I always talk about.
Heinlein.
That awesome, like, you know, bug killing, super badass, you know, late 90s sci-fi movie, I liked. And then
I don't care what anyone says. That's a great movie.
I liked it. But then like the commentary on war set in the future that was the original work by Heinlein was also really, really good. They share the same name. I'm not sure why, but they're like so different. Like the movie wasn't even trying to be the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But again, I sort of go back to the point that like if they actually were true to the book and they went and just made like these like, you know, epic, I guess an epic series or mini series or whatever it is, I don't know how well it would do to the mainstream public. So it's almost like a, I don't want to say moral or moral question, but it's like, do you dumb it down for the masses in order to, for some greater good that maybe, like you said, Brian, 10% will go and read the books? Is that a worthy trade-off? I know obviously they're not doing it for that. They're doing it to make money, but you know, for guys like us who've read the books, do we accept that and still be okay with the TV series because of that 10%, or is it just not worth it?
Right. They're claiming to be this from the page to the screen, but in fact, what they are is this, you know, through a meat grinder and like the shit that we didn't want to make into value hamburger ends up on the screen. Here you go.
I think people have said, you know, she's Hollywood ugly for a long time. And I think Big Bang Theory introduced like Hollywood nerdy.
This is
Hollywood literature, man.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
It's not quite the same for Martin, because I think if we're honest, we all know he's kind of on his last legs. But if this were an up-and-comer, brilliant author, he'd never have to do anything again. All he could do is devote his life to pumping out whatever the hell he wanted to with the financial gains from this. I'd be all for that.
Yeah. So you're saying like almost sort of like, what's the woman that, the girl that's in, Hunger Games, Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, I've seen interviews with her and I love her to death. I've seen interviews with her basically saying, look, I do these big movies so I can do like all the smaller movies. You know what I mean? Like she does a big movie so that she's financially stable and then she can go do a bunch of indie flicks. So sort of like, is that what you mean? Like a really brilliant writer just sort of selling out so that he can then just devote time to his craft and pump out whatever he wants after that.
Right. I mean, Again, you know, Martin had his career already, but someone with this level of success could do anything next.
Right.
I mean, even... I feel like I'm picking on the poor bastard, but, I mean, how do you think King Kong got made?
Oh, yeah, after Jackson made Lord of the Rings, they were like...
Yeah, they were just like, here's money, have fun.
Yeah, he literally could have walked into any studio and been like, I want to make Gumby the movie. Okay, yeah, whatever you say. Yeah, sure thing, Peter. Right?
Yeah.
The scary thing with that, though, is that say you had this great author and he could probably be the next, you know, our generation's, you know, whatever, Tolkien or whatever. And he gets this initial success. I feel like human nature is such that once you receive that adoration and that commercial success, you don't want to leave it behind. You know, so maybe you'd write a book that would appeal to, I guess I call it the Dennis Miller factor. I heard that's a joke on The Simpsons like a while ago, you know, only like one out of like, you know, 20 million are going to get it. But maybe he does have the capacity to write this, you know, the great American novel. But now that he's had that American, now that he's had that huge success, or she, I don't want to be, you know, gender specific, but, you know, now that they've had that success, they don't do that because they're afraid that it's going to be a flop commercially. You get what I'm saying? Like, that almost deters them from going out and taking a chance on writing something that wouldn't be commercially successful because they've already had that initial success and they don't want to lose it.
I kind of feel like this proves that's not true, though, because he damn sure didn't write this for the masses.
Yeah, but yeah.
To be fair, he's actually not done writing this, so, yeah. as well.
Well, and I guess that brings up another question is, what is this success of the show going to do to his writing for the last book? Do you think it's going to have any effect on how he, you know, wraps things up?
That's something I wanted to get to, and I'm glad you brought that up. I seriously hope he never watches the show. I seriously hope whatever these comparatively inferior writers come up with in no way influences him.
This will possibly give some hope. I was reading this today. Apparently, he has message boards, of course, on his website. And apparently, recently, after this Sansa thing, he just made like a blanket statement. Like, look, this is a Song of Ice and Fire message boards. Don't discuss the Game of Thrones here.
Oh, so he's even making the parallel. That's totally different work.
He's like, HBO has shit for that. They're trying to do the best with what they have, and I'm trying to do the best with what I have.
That's hopeful.
Separate. Yeah. Don't talk Star Wars here. Don't talk that.
But yet he'll go on and talk about that thing that Chris always brings up.
Puppygate or whatever.
Yeah, Puppygate, yeah. Oh, man. And he's wasting all his time posting about that shit when he should be finishing up the goddamn books.
I need the books finished. I can't watch. I'll watch this years from now when the books are done, but I can't take this disappointment anymore. And my God, if this in any way affects the writing, I that gives me hope. The fact that he clearly delineates gives me hope that it won't. But God forbid any of this absurdity should trickle into his writing.
Well, and what sucks is that if that happens, like, the general public is not going to know the difference anyway, because HBO is going to do whatever the fuck they want to do, regardless of what he writes, you know?
Right.
It's only going to be the assholes like us that read the books that are going to get fucked.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. God. It's making me sick, man. Making me sick even talking about this. I've had it.
We've officially gone comic book guy. You guys realize that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just so we all understand that.
I found that no matter what shirt I put on, my belly sticks out of it now. And no matter how I style ever. My hair.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that worst series ever?
Worst series ever. Yeah, worst adaptation ever. Oh, man.
HBO has put out a lot of quality programming. I recommend Silicon Valley.
I love that show.
Worst tech show ever. No, it's pretty good.
That show makes me laugh every single episode, so I can't knock it.
I like that. I like, even though he comes across as a somewhat pompous and conceited, I like Bill Maher.
Yeah.
A friend of mine pointed out, you know, he's about to act very full of himself when he steeples his fingers. That means he's about to really just let you know the God's honest truth.
Yeah,
so brace yourself.
I think there's like a Ivy League drinking game where every time he steeples his fingers, you have to take a shot. Like
probably, yeah. He comes across as a little arrogant from time to time. But
yeah, for sure. But no, look, I mean, and that you bring up a good point. Listen, HBO, like I said before, like, they probably put out, I mean, I would say the best programming on TV, you know?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about like, you know, let's talk about degrees. You know, I mean, look, I don't even watch networks, you know, network shows. So, you know, I'm still okay with watching HBO. I like HBO and I like a lot, pretty much all their programming. It's just disappointing when it, you know, when it comes to a show that, you or a property or a franchise that you love so much in terms of the books that, you know, you sort of see bastardized. But, you know, if I do watch TV, it's typically HBO or you know,
that
two other sports, you know.
That pretty much summed it up. Seeing something I like bastardized, and I guess I have to stick to the point Brian made. This is Game of Thrones, the TV show.
Right.
A Song of Ice and Fire is the books. But it's just that it takes so long for the Song of Ice and Fire installments to come out that I want to fill in the gaps with this, and I can't now. I can't, because this is going off the rails. I'm going to have to just start reading another book series in the meantime.
Yeah.
Well, if you want a god-awful TV adaptation, I would recommend The Sword of Truth.
Wait, they did a TV adaptation?
Yes.
Oh, God. And it was wretched?
I was fortunate enough to not expect anything out of it. It was definitely not HBO. Yeah, it was bad.
That sounds awful. I don't know how if it's knowing nothing about it, but just hearing your description, that sounds like something awful, and I don't know if I want any more. But
it was fun awful.
Okay. Well, maybe I want to set the bar lower such that I will think this is better. That's the way to go.
Maybe watch that first. It's only like 2 seasons. It wasn't very successful.
Oh, good.
Watch that, then read the books.
Okay, maybe I will. And
that's generally safer.
Okay, watch the shitty part and then read the books. And okay. Oh, and by the way, Brian, you just gave me some hope when you said it got canceled. It wasn't very successful. There's another thing HBO has a track record of doing, apart from appealing to the lowest common denominator with vulgarity and senseless violence, and that is canceling shows after a couple seasons, even if they seem to be doing very well. So here's hoping.
Probably not going to happen this time.
Yeah. One can hope.
I think they're going at least eight seasons on this.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I could take it. I mean, Sopranos dragged on for how long?
I don't think it was that. I'm not sure. But, I mean, look, they're in season 5 now, right? So you got to figure there's at least 2 more seasons, right? If not 3.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they'll wrap it up. They'll have, oh God, their conclusion. I'm trying to think of it. They'll have Melisandre be Azor Ahai, the savior, and she'll defeat. She'll defeat the White Walkers, who you can't call the others. You can't call them the others because that might confuse people who watched Lost. And no, right. I'm not kidding.
Right. 6 seasons for The Sopranos.
Was it 6? Damn. Well, it was like 3 years between each one, wasn't it, too?
Well, I think that they were longer seasons. These seasons, I think, are only 10 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Per season, so there might have been long. I think it was several other, more. I think they had more episodes per season.
I'm hoping for a cancellation and takeover by a team that's more into the books, and who knows? But that's my final comment on it. That's just me being spiteful, and I hate to be the comic book guy, but I just can't help it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think there was roughly 13 or 14 episodes per 13 episodes per season in Sopranos.
Well, Sopranos ended. Someday so will this. And at the end of the day, there are more things to be concerned about. Like the Mad Max movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I am really looking forward to that.
Definitely go see it, and don't miss the strong feminist overtones. That's like, it seems like people did not enjoy the movie for looking for those, so follow suit if you want.
There's so many good movies out though. There's that. Tomorrowland is out.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. I'm gonna go see Tomorrowland actually.
And I'm not afraid to admit that I will definitely be seeing Pitch Perfect 2.
What?
Yeah. I look. Hey, I'm not afraid to admit I'm secure in my masculinity that Pitch Perfect 1 is one of my guilty pleasures. So I probably will be taking my mother to see Pitch Perfect 2.
That's a musical, and right?
Not just because it's my mother. I secretly want to watch it too, but no, it's not. It's not a musical. There is singing, but it's not a musical.
It's Glee.
No, it's a lot more edgy than Glee. It's pretty funny. It's like did you ever watch that movie Bridesmaids?
Mm-mm.
It's almost like a Bridesmaids. What was that movie with where they went to the bachelor party and the Hangover? It's almost like a Hangover meets Glee sort of mashup. It's got a lot of like pretty raunchy, like funny humor, but it's also like singing. Yeah.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that. And guys, definitely watch Mad Max. I would like to hear your impressions of it. Cool. Good movie.
What do you, damn it. Everybody's calling it the sexy robot movie. I don't remember the real name.
Oh,
of it
Ex
now.
Machina. Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. I really want to see that.
Yeah. I want to see that as well.
Ex Machina is a really good movie that you should see. But you know what? I would say, I don't want to say see that before Mad Max, but I kind of do. See that for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be out of the theater soon, too.
Yeah, I would get on that.
Meaning to go, like, every weekend, but I've been, you know, just packed with Disney and all kinds of other good stuff, so I can't complain too much.
Don't miss it. Try to see it in theaters while you still can. Really good. So let's do that. Let's end on a good note. Go see Ex Machina. Go see Mad Max. Let's go see Tomorrowland. New Poltergeist coming out. Lots of movies. Lots of great, cool stuff coming out. When's the Batman, Superman thing?
That's a little ways off, isn't it?
Isn't that just the summer? I don't know. There's a bunch of crap coming out this summer. That's all I know. So, yay. Yay for movies.
Yay movies. For movies.
You don't need to watch TV. There's movies out there. There's video games, books. So much to see and do.
Exactly. Terminator Genesis, July 4th. I don't know if anyone's a
Terminator fan. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually. And I'm also looking forward to Jurassic World. That actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, and they're bringing Arnold out of retirement.
Yeah, to beat up like the younger-looking CGI Terminator.
Yeah.
Looking forward to all of these things. So, a summer into fall season of much entertainment. If you don't like Game of Thrones, I guess at the end of the day, to each his own. But if your own isn't the same as mine, then you're a fool. But with that said, unless you guys have anything else to add, I think we can wrap this up by saying our farewells.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. Well, while you find yourselves afloat in this sea of entertainment over the next few months, dear listeners, don't forget to spend a little time with us every week as we put out quality podcasting entertainment for your entertainment. That's a little redundant. Anyway, what's not redundant is our asking you week after week to check us out on iTunes or Stitcher, rate us favorably, write us a great review, etc. And if you're more into streaming, give us a listen on Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google+, and join the Nerdstravaganza HQ Facebook group.
When you're not watching senseless violence and sexual assault on HBO, why don't you head on over to our website, nerdstravaganza.com. Check out our premium content, videos, and all of our back episodes. Head on over to YouTube. Also check out our videos there. Bring us some Greyjoy and send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with all that said, I guess there are only a couple remaining things to say.
Valar Morghulis?
Summer is coming.
Valar is... God, you know, I just really don't like this show. Bye.
What was the whole thing? Wasn't there like a...
Just winter.
There was more to it.
Just winter is coming. That was it.
No, wasn't there a response to it, too? I forget.
I thought there was a response. There's one to Valar Morghulis.
Yeah, Valar Dohaeris, but I can't remember. I don't remember.